Today's scripture is taken from Matthew 7, verse 7 to 14. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. These are the words of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Well, how are you doing? Doing all right? I woke up yesterday not feeling great. And I'm thinking to myself, Alan, you should just stay in bed and sleep for another 3 or 4 hours. And I'm thinking, yeah, but I got to get up and go to the gym. So I get up and go to the gym, and I'm about 2/3 of the way through my cardio, and I'm thinking, this is it, man. I can't finish this. I'm like, I'm done. So I knock off, and then I go do a little bit of other stuff. Finally come home, and then I just say, Beth, I'm out of it, man. So I just go down, then I sleep for my 3 hours after that. I should have just stayed in bed at the first time. So I didn't feel all great all that day. This morning, I feel better than I did yesterday, but not 100%. So that's the way it goes, right? That's life. We all have our realities that are going on. Sometimes we feel great, and other times we're not feeling so good. I'm sure some of you aren't feeling all that great. But you got up, and here we are on a sunny Sunday morning, and we want to offer God our worship and also reflect on His Word together. And today we're continue reflecting on our series, The School of Christ, which focuses on different commands of Christ, and a variety of them are found in the Sermon on the Mount, which is chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew, and this is one of those. So I begin with a quote from Richard Rohr in his book, fine book called Falling Upward, where he says, God seems to be about turning our loves around, in Greek, metanoia, and using them toward the great love that is their true object. All lesser loves are training wheels, which are good in themselves, but still training wheels. So life is about moving towards that great love, discovering that great love, experiencing God's great love, and recognizing that that is really what our movement is towards. But of course, we get stuck a lot of times on the lesser loves. And oftentimes, people never do really experience the greater love, never really get there. So when we come together on worship, we are reminded of God's great love. And that is really the path of fulfillment and authenticity, as we'll see, as Jesus is offering. So moving towards the great love. The great love. That our universe is not some cold, empty space. It is that in some ways. I don't know if you've seen the film First Man. Have you seen that? Story of Neil Armstrong first landing on the moon. Very good film. And there's parts where they are testing aircraft and so on, and they're trying to actually just get up into orbit. And he gets up there in orbit, and he's with one other astronaut, and they're trying to lock up with the sister ship that's finally going to get them to the moon, get them down and get them back. But when they get up there, it's just them, and it's just blackness. It's just, you're just floating, man. And they can't see the object that they're to connect with. They can't see it. They can't find it. It's just, so it's really quite interesting because Neil Armstrong, he's actually, when he's up there, he's doing math longhand back in the 70s, longhand to figure out how to find this. And the guys down in Houston are saying, hey, what's going on? He says, give me a minute. He's trying to figure it all out. They're not telling him what to do. They haven't got a clue what to do. This is how early it all is. He's got to figure it out longhand in the moment. And then he does his things. He gives a little bit of air boost and bounces it up. And then in the distance, that's either our spaceship or it's a star. So let's go towards it. And it ends up being the spaceship, right? But the universe is not just this cold place. It is a place of great love that holds it all together. So we'll keep that in mind as we move towards our text, leaving behind the lesser loves for the love that leads to life, moving into a relationship with Abba. That's what I would suggest this piece is indeed about from the Sermon on the Mount. Text, ask and it will be given to you, search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks the door will be opened. So here are our commands. Here are the imperatives. Ask, search, knock. Those are all present imperatives, present tense, continuous action. Ask, search, or seek, depending on your translation. Knock. Keep looking to God. That's what Jesus is saying. So when he says that, first thing we need to consider then, okay, is what is our view of God? So if we're going to ask and seek and knock, who is this God that we're asking, seeking, knocking on? Is he loving or is he punitive? Does he really love you and continue to love you even when you mess up? Or is he punitive? He wants to punish you as soon as you mess up, because we all mess up. Who is this God? Is he embracing? Or is he someone that we should be afraid of? Is he welcoming? Does he welcome you? You and me, with all of our idiosyncrasies, does he welcome you? Does he receive you? So this view, I mean, what we feel of God determines a lot, man, and so much of it actually is shaped by your own family system. It's shaped by the other adults, if you're a child, who you're around. What is their view of God? Chances are your view of God has something to do with what you've heard and being around. So you can see how if you've been in a place where God, one, doesn't even exist in your home, or two, if he does exist, he's someone to be afraid of. He's like a school teacher, the old style. Or is he someone there for you, right? So we're impacted by all these things. Hence, God is very patient because he knows all the struggles. He knows all the stuff that gets in the way. But how we are raised, who we hang out with, all of that will impact our view of God. Because God may be someone that you ask, seek, and knock on. Man, sure, because you believe God is there for you. He loves you. Or you may feel like that's the last thing I'm going to go to because I don't trust this God. I don't depend on him. I've learned that I can't lean on him. So I'm going to do it on my own. You see what I mean? So that's where we begin. But what's Jesus' view? Well, Jesus' view is go. Because God is Abba. God is our loving Father, mother, parent, he loves you. He loves me. Therefore, I will ask and I will seek and I will knock and I'll keep doing that. That's what Jesus is saying. If I don't believe he really loves me, then I'm probably not going to go there. So Jesus, on the hillside, you know, it's interesting if you travel to Capernaum, that's where Jesus worked out of for the 3 years of ministry. Just outside of Capernaum, there are hills that go down to the Sea of Galilee. And if you go over there, that's where they think that he gave the Sermon on the Mount. Just outside of Capernaum, on a raised hill, looking down. If you know Christie Pits in Toronto at all, you can just imagine all the people down on the bottom where the baseball field is, and Jesus up in the top of Christie Pits, man, and he is just speaking. That's the idea. And he's saying, God loves us, and because he loves us, we can go. Ask, seek, knock. That's our invitation. I don't know, we might think about this, three moods of prayer. Someone has suggested these ideas. Ask, to name our needs. To search, discovery. These are all, whether this is the way to finally determine these three commands, there is truth in this. Needs. Prayer as discovery. Prayer as finding out more about God and my relationship with him. Prayer is that for sure. And three, knocking, crying out for help, mercy, maybe. Those ideas there. That's why different verbs are used. Ask, seek, knock. He's inviting us to have this relationship with God. It's not an intellectual editing, meaning I don't have to think twice about everything I might want to ask about because is it in prayer or not? Can I ask about this or not? That's a pretty distorted relationship with anybody if that's the case. Can I really talk with this about that with this person or not? I can't do that. What Jesus is saying is just come, man, just come. Come. Be with him. Honest, open conversations. Not trying to control things, not trying to manipulate things, but just open, honest conversation, talking. This is what I believe Jesus wants. When he calls out to Abba, this is what he's doing. He's pouring out his heart. He's sitting in the presence of the Father, and that's what you and I are invited to do. Just pray. Don't overly intellectualize everything. Just move into that. Because what is the example that Jesus gives here? He says, hey, you look at your mom or your dad. If you ask for a piece of bread, they're not going to give you a stone. If you ask for a fish, they're not going to give you a snake. Now, those might seem like funny examples, right? But if you lived around the Sea of Galilee, there are lots of stones. It's interesting, in my office, I have a water fountain that I'm not using presently, but I picked up all the stones that are in that from the Middle East. I picked them up one time when I was over there and brought them all back. The customs guy says, what you got in your bag? And I say, lots of stones. It's from my fountain. Pretty heavy, actually, but that's what I did. And they're all round, man. And they could look like a loaf of bread because when they cooked, they had these round loaves. So if you want a piece of bread, a round loaf, your parent doesn't slip you a brick, a rock, which is round that you're going to chip your teeth on, right? Not going to do that. Or if you get a fish out of the Sea of Galilee, and in Christ's time, there were lots of fish. There still are fish there. But it was packed at one point. They're not going to give you a snake. There are also snakes in the lake. And there are other fish that look like snakes, eels. They're not going to swap them out. So he says the argument from the lesser to the greater, it's called a fortiori argument. Jesus uses it a lot. If it's so with your parents, how much more with God? Because he loves you. He's there for you. So move into this dynamic. The universe is not just this big, cold place, but it is held together by God's love. You know, physicists search and search and search for what they call the theory of everything. What is the bottom line theory that explains the whole deal? They think it's got to be actually something fairly simple. There it is, holds it all together. I think what Jesus is saying, ultimately, it's love, man. So one day they'll figure out the love equation. They'll say, that's what it is, maybe. Or Jesus will present it and say, that's what it is. Can we live in a world, in a universe, that we can go to God and ask and seek and knock? That's what he's saying. Of course, it's not a blank check. This is not the first time that Jesus has talked about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, if we were doing a series on that. Who is asking is important. And what is asking? Meaning, what are we asking about? So just for example, if we go back to Matthew 6, verses 5 and 6, Jesus has already said that. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received the reward, but whatever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father, your heavenly Father who is in secret, and your heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's talking about being in relationship with God. So it's not just like rubbing a bottle, you know, the old genie idea, and the genie comes out whenever you have a need. That's not the point of prayer. Because what's the point? The point is moving into a relationship with God. The very specifics are secondary. It's moving into this dynamic with God of love. Ask, seek, knock. And depending on where we've come from and how many hurts we've gone through, it can take a long time for us to get to a point where we feel comfortable asking, seeking, knocking to this God. But that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that's our invitation. It's the way of love, number one. Jeremiah uses this language. Jesus knew about all this. He knew the prophets 600 years before Christ. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. See, this kind of language, Jesus has heard this before. He knows all about it. He's not creating out of a vacuum. If we seek, search, discover, really want to know God more, we will do so. It says it over and over and over again. Because God wants to be in relationship with us. That's what he really wants for us. It's less important what we do career-wise and everything else, far less important than discovering God and being in relationship with him. That's the invitation. So it is the relationship of love. Secondly, in everything do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. This is the second piece of this way of love. What is it? Well, this is the golden rule, Matthew 7:12. It's interesting. He talks about the law and prophets here. This is towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. If you go back to chapter 5, verse 17, he talks about the law and the prophets there. So now they're bookends. They're beginning and ending the Sermon on the Mount. And he's saying that my word to you sums up the entire law and prophets. And what is it? Go back. In everything do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Do to others what you would have them do to you. That's what Jesus says. That's the law and the prophets. Imagine that. If we would just do that. Do to others. Really, what you would have them do to you. Say to others what you would like to hear heard back. Whatever kindness you would like to receive, offer. If we lived in such a world, the world would be amazing. The point of this is that it's others-based. Do to others what you would have them do to you. So it means that spirituality is not just about our own interiority. It's not just about me and God and how I'm doing. That's only one bit. Do to others. Who you are internally, your interiority, has to make a difference to how you relate to others. Others in your building, others in your work, people who are difficult, who are challenging. Anybody ever worked with somebody who's challenging at work? Oh, yeah, you've all done that, right? These people, man, oh man, give me a break. You just want them gone. do to others what you would have them do to you. People, man, you don't know what they've gone through. What's made them like that? Something's made them like that. You were in their shoes, living in their home, you might be like that too. Nevertheless, we want them out of here, right? Do to others what you would have them do for you. This is what Jesus is saying. It sums up the whole deal. It's the way of love, practically worked out. Enter through the narrow gate, moving to point three. For the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. Apoleia, destruction. Doesn't say what the destruction is, just says it's destruction. There are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. The way of love, relating to God, what does it mean? Jesus says, there are two ways. One way is a false way. One way is a true way. So the easy and wide road, Paul talks about it as the false self or the old self. Let's just read that for a moment. Colossians 3:9. Just remind us how others talk about the same idea. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices. You've stripped off the old self, the way of self-centered desire. It's a way that ends in destruction, Jesus says. Wide, the Greek word there is the same root as what we get plateau from, pleia. It's a wide road. No real need to go through a gate because it's wide, it's flat, it's like a big plateau. It's interesting, just above the city of La Paz, which is a city right in the middle of the Andes, 13,000 feet, and you're living on the sides of the slopes. Up on top, there's another city, and it's called El Alto. El Alto, and it's built on the Andean Plateau. So you get up, and you go over the top, and it's just flat. That's where they put the big airport in La Paz. It's the only place to land. Remember, Darcy, we were there. You land on this big plateau. That city could grow to 100 million people because this just goes and goes and goes. There's no end to the space there. This big Andean plateau. It's wide and it's easy. But a way of destruction. It's the way of the false self. The false self can't get to heaven. The false self can't live eternally. The false self is your facade. It's my facade. The false self is what I want you to see about me. And so I project all kinds of things. That's the false self. And the world often settles for it. We see it with, I don't know, celebrities, with politicians, with whatever. This is what I want you to see in me. You don't see the real me. That false self can never go anywhere, ultimately. The true self is hard and narrow. So then Paul says, Colossians 3:10, put on the new self. Let's hear what he says there. And have clothed yourselves with the new self, which has been renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. Put on the new self. This is the way of life, Jesus says. It's the way of Zoe. The true self, hard and narrow. Hard does not mean difficult. Hard just means constricted, focused, narrow. Stay focused. Stay focused. That's the true way. Stay focused, not distracted, not just living on the surface, not living your whole life about non-essentials. Stay focused. Kierkegaard talks about it, to will one thing. The false self, the way where I just want for me, or the true self. That's what Jesus is talking about. So there's the way of non-choosing. I don't want to choose anything. I just want to stay in this middle road and get what I need. Or there's the way of choosing. The way that we set a focus. So So Jesus is saying, that's how we are to live. Do you want to grow in a relationship with God? That's what he's saying. That's going to be in a relationship where others are part of it. And it's a way where the true you is being sought after. The true you. The you that you know is way down there deep. That's the you. That's the you. The you that was you when you were a little kid. And then we lose that somewhere along the line. And then often when we get older, we kind of return to that little kid a little bit. And that true you begins to surface again. That is who and how we're to connect with God. Putting on the true self. What does Jesus do? What does he say in terms of ending this entire Sermon on the Mount? He uses a little story in Matthew 7 about building a house. Therefore then, who hears these words of mine, the words that we're just talking about, and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. That's a pretty simple story, right? Just simple stuff, man. We're not talking about sophisticated theology. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on a rock. Build your house on a rock. Build your house on a life of relationship with God. That's what we're going at. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. No relationship. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house and it fell and great was its fall. Destruction. Great was its fall. So Jesus is talking about this way of love and he uses these various stories to introduce that. So how do we wrap it up? Number one, it invites us to go deeper, and the key word is the word ask. If you look at it, chapter 6, verse 8, chapter 7, verse 7, verse 11, James 4, you do not have because you do not ask. That's not rubbing a genie bottle, and you want this, you're going to get it. But it's moving into this dynamic of God and knowing God and loving God. Ask, ask, ask. Be with Him. Be with Him. That's what we want to know. Be with Him. Your life is ending, man. Oftentimes we're not even around those who we've known and who love us for various reasons. They're not even around anymore. Be in dynamic with God who will never leave you. Ask, ask, ask. He will be there for you. He is there for you. He is your inner strength, right? That's what Jesus is saying. It's about focusing on Jesus. It's interesting if you go to prayer, right, and you have some big problem. What might that be? Let's say a health concern. You've got some big health concern. Now, what happens if you pray and you keep that health concern right at the front of your mind? God, I've got this. I think this is bad. Okay, I think maybe it's not this. I think it's this, and I'm not feeling very good about it. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. You keep telling yourself it's bad. It's bad. It's bad. And you keep focusing on the problem. What happens? The problem just takes over. That's all you can think about is that problem after a while. Whatever you're wanting to get rid of, now it's really blaring. It's like you've turned up the radio super loud. That's now what you're hearing. The problem. Man, I am really sick. You might just have a cold. Now you're telling yourself, I'm sick, 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 sick. Man, I'm not going to make it through the night. Or you got a money problem and you focus it on so much, so much, so much, and that's all after all you can think about. I don't think that's what prayer is about. When prayer, Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, it means move into a relationship with God. It means bring whatever concerns you have. Sit down at God's feet, be with Jesus, and just sit there with Him. Because when you do that, or I do that, now we're sitting in His presence, and now I'm being strengthened by Him and restored by Him. What does a little child do? Little child falls and they bang their knee. They sprain something. All they want, what do they want at that point? They want to hop in mom's arms. They've got a cut, but what I want right now is just be with mom. Might be dad too, typically it's mom. They want that connection. That's what they want. And after a few minutes of hugging and kissing and words of consolation, this big problem, pain, begins to get some sort of, you know, environment where I can handle this. It's okay. It's not as bad as I thought, right? Because mom is here for me. I think I've told you the story. I was up in Tilbury one time, and there are bees flying around. And the little girl's having an ice cream. And the bee keeps coming and bugging her and bugging her. Finally, she moves right over by her mom. Because mom's going to protect her. And you know what? The bees went away. I was right there. It was amazing. The bees just, oh, I'm not going after mom. Forget it. Little girl's right in front. Mom, little girl. The bees just figure, okay, I've done harassing enough. Now I'm going away. So if we do that with our parents when we're little, that's what God wants to do. Bring it, man. Ask, seek, knock. That's what Jesus is saying. Don't try to focus and do it all yourself. Bring it to him. That's the idea. He loves us. Let's bring it. Sit with him. And that while we do this, we find out who we are. We find authenticity. We find wholeness. And that involves the other. It's not just navel gazing, right? It's me in the world with needs. And I do my best to communicate love to all the others as I can. Be in relationship with others, not just about me, not just about you. It's how we fit in this great mosaic. True self, false self. Merton wrote about the true self, false self. He was the first one to use those terms, as far as I know, back in the 1940s. The old self, new self, true self, false self. Jesus wants us to know the true you. Be in dynamic with God. Know his peace, his presence. In Jesus' name, amen.